The MLB trade deadline has come and gone. We are awaiting any final announcements from around Major League Baseball and the Nationals, but we can confirm Mackenzie Gore is still a member of the Washington Nationals. I'm told there is nothing being finalized that's going to come out after the deadline here. The team decided to keep their all-star left-handed pitcher. So Gore, who has struggled in two of his last three outings, he said, I got to be honest, the trade deadline is certainly something that has crossed my radar. Maybe it was a factor. He can now just get back to work for the remainder of this season. He's going to be on the Nationals. Be interesting to see if he survives the offseason with the Nats, I will say, because with 2 years of control left, depending on how they plan on spending and how aggressive they want to be, it's possible they could flip him, you know, this offseason. If they do that, they will have probably made a mistake to not trade him now because you get less value. But they also have the complicating factor of, is Mike DiBartolo going to be the long-term general manager? Is he just the interim GM? And if they bring somebody else in, maybe that person should get to deserve the honor of figuring out Mackenzie Gore's fate. But Danny, they did not trade their ace lefty.
No, and I don't think I expected them to. It would have felt, you know, just optically too much for this ownership group to have gone in on that. I bet you the baseball people presented them with options because that's someone that was absolutely in demand. Teams, I'm sure, were calling. I know there were various reports to that end. And my guess was the ownership just couldn't get on board or couldn't make a decision or kind of remained their semi-obstructionalist self here and said, we're not doing that because it would look too bad for the remainder of this season for paying customers, which I don't think is the right way to do something. But I guess I understand that, even if I disagree with it.
So in total, the Nationals ended up making five trades, including two today. The two deals today included Kyle Finnegan to the Detroit Tigers. Finnegan moved for two right-handed pitchers, Josh Randall and RJ Sales, a couple of 22-year-olds. But out of the organization, Amed Rosario, Andrew Chafin, Luis Garcia, Michael Soroka, Kyle Finnegan, and then lastly, about an hour ago, Alex Call to the Dodgers. In, right-handed pitcher Clayton Beter, outfielder Brown Martinez, left-handed pitcher Jake Eater, first baseman Sam Brown, infielder Ronnie Cruz, outfielder Christian Franklin, right-handers Josh Randall and RJ Sales I just mentioned. Of those guys, the majority of the arms are actually double-A or higher, trying to build up some possible bullpen arms. Most of these guys are starters at the minor league level, but in the case of someone like Beter, Randall, Sales, possibly even Eater, like these are guys that could help them in the pen sometime between now and the end of next year, hopefully. They've got a couple of higher ceiling toolsy prospects like the infielder from the Cubs. Ronnie Cruz might have the biggest upside of any of the guys they brought in. The outfielder who came over in the Beter and Brown Martinez deal. Martinez is a teenager, lottery ticket, DSL. When you trade only guys that are not controlled beyond this season, you're going to get minor league players back who are non-elite prospects. And so there's a few guys in this mix that were 14th, 15th, 16th in a system, somewhere between 15 and 30 in a lot of the rankings in the orgs that they traded with. But by and large, these are not like impact or blue chip prospects. You're playing the lottery a little bit. You're hoping that somebody catches fire and that you find a guy that's a little better than anticipated. What's pretty hilarious is, and it makes sense because he had 4 years of control, but Alex Call got them the best return.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Call netted two pitchers from the Dodgers system. And by the way, when you're trading with another team, you want to trade with the Dodgers because generally they do a really good job developing talent. Now, you got to guess, right? We saw it when you went and got Josiah Gray, who's been an all-star but hurt, and K-Bert Ruiz, who is kind of bottomed out at catcher here. But the Dodgers generally have a really high-end system. So just as an example, you know, Eric Swan and Sean Paul Linyon, the two guys that they got who are both pitchers in LA system, ranked 16th and 20th. They would probably rank a lot higher than that in the Nats system.
Well, like 7th and 10th probably?
Ish. I Somewhere mean, there, maybe yeah. Not that high, but yeah, they'd be higher. Swan's a 23-year-old righty who's got crazy numbers in the minors this year. Linyon striking out like 11 per 9. He's a 20-year-old right-handed pitcher who's a little further away. He's an A-plus ball. But that, to me, was actually the best return. And it was Alex Call, who they weren't going to have around anyway.
So see, here's a couple things that are interesting to me. John Morosi tweeted this moments ago. Mackenzie Gore stays put despite interest from the Red Sox, Cubs, and Padres. Yes, the Padres wanted him back. Those are three pretty marquee organizations when it comes to we've got some stockpile. You know, AJ Preller loves giving you incredible amounts of volume of maybe high end prospects for your player. Just ask Mackenzie Gore and James Wood and Abrams and everybody else. The other thing that's stunning to me is Josh Bell's still here, by all accounts.
Well, I just got confirmation from a national source in their front office that Bell did not get traded.
That is pretty remarkable.
Gore did not get traded, and Josh Bell did not get traded. Both confirmed. What's out there is what they did.
The Bell non-move to me is a stunner, quite frankly. I understand the bigger debate. The bigger star, of course, is Mackenzie Gore.
Right.
Because the haul you could have got back, but I don't get that one. I think there was interest, right?
I was told there was. I was told there were teams calling on him yesterday. But look, if you didn't make the trade, I don't think they were turning down offers for Josh Bell.
Mm.
So it's a good question. I mean, again, I was told by someone that I feel like is pretty plugged in on how this stuff works, that teams were checking in on Josh Bell. This is not a Nats person. This was a kind of a Major League Baseball source. But do you think the team would have turned down an offer for Bell? Maybe they didn't get what they wanted. I just have to assume when he's a rental, the rest of a lost season, you kind of have to just take the best thing you get offered at some point.
That's kind of my point there. So for the Nathaniel Lowe, I saw a couple rumors that there was maybe a sticking point about what he was owed for the rest of the season. Again, don't know where necessarily the truth lies with that. I haven't seen too much reporting on that, but I could see that. In other words, someone that costs some this year, that's arbitration eligible for an extension for more money next year, teams may not be that excited about a guy, a more light-hitting first baseman whose defense has regressed a little bit. So I understand maybe not getting a deal done for Lowe. Bell is hard for me to understand. Whatever your best offer is the offer you take to me. Unless everybody withdrew because they went in different directions or something like that, just seems very puzzling to me that, and again, great guy. I've said this for a million years. Josh Bell should either be a college professor, run for office, do something. He is a wonderful dude, but this isn't a wonderful dude contest. It's how do I make my baseball team the best? And a guy that probably isn't going to be here next year, unless he signs another free agent contract, didn't make sense to me as to why he wasn't traded.
Yeah, he was hitting .320 with a .913 ops over his last 30 games. And over about a 50-game span, he was hitting .300 with a .900 OPS. So the idea, like, guys got traded all over the league that just weren't that good. Charlie Morton got traded at the deadline. I know he's been better of late, but welcome to Josh Bellville. You know, it's not to me like someone could say, you know, I had someone say, I'm not sure that they'll be able to trade him. Everyone knows he's streaky. He's just not that good a player. Well, he's been a really good player for 50 games. Who wants left-handed power? You know, who wants left-handed ability to put the, you know, draw some walks, get on base? And he's cut down on his strikeouts. He's hit for more power. I just thought they'd get some type of offer for him.
Yeah.
And I don't even care what it is, by the way. It could be a non-prospect minor league player. It could be, all of these deals were basically a couple minor leaguers who might not ever end up being overly helpful for you at the major league level. And you're just adding some minor league talent. You're filling up minor league rosters, adding some competition. That's all I would have needed.
Yep.
I mean, if somebody said, here's a 18-year-old lottery ticket pitcher who's pitching in the DSL right now, I just said, perfect. We'll send over the paperwork.
Yeah, the way I phrase it is, whatever your best offer is, that's the offer, right? Or that's the price. I'm not doing that for Mackenzie Gore, right? Let's say for the sake of argument, I didn't get my asking price from the Cubs or the Red Sox or the Padres, as John Pomerosi reported. If I don't get what I want, I'm under no obligation to do anything right now. For Josh Bell, you're going to give me something for Josh Bell? Yes is the answer. The same way a couple years ago we talked about it. I mean, not exactly the same, but the Lane Thomas for John Lester. You mean you're going to give me something for John Lester? I can get rid of a 7-plus ERA and inability to throw to first and receive something in return? Yes is my answer to that. They should have traded him.
So Bell, to me, is secondary. You weren't going to get a big return anyway, but surprising, annoying, whatever. Let's not bury the lead here. Mackenzie Gore stayed. Mackenzie Gore did not get traded. The Nationals hung on to, moving forward now, their biggest asset. They had a chance to add some legitimate pieces to the system, and they chose not to. And what I've got to now figure out is, did they not get an offer they liked, or did ownership shoot down returns? You said it was Morosi that suggested?
Yes.
Now, we know teams were calling. We know the Cubs have been calling. We know the Yankees were interested. The Padres had been rumored. I hadn't heard that personally, but I'll take Morosi's word for it. But there's a big difference between calling. What was the term he used?
Interest.
Well, I mean, that doesn't tell me a whole lot, honestly. I'll bet you 15 teams had interest. I'm sure 20 teams have called and just asked about Mackenzie Gore over the last 30 days. I need to know what the offers were. And was there any kind of a package that came to Mike DiBartolo that he went to the Learners and presented to them and said, this is a good trade. We should accept this trade. Because my belief was, and this is something I posted last night, I talked with you about at the start of the show today, and a concern. It was both kind of how I thought this would go, and my anxiety about this was, even if they get a good deal that they like, they're not going to pull the trigger because I don't think ownership will let them. That was what I had heard, is that it's very possible that the owners want to hang on to Gore for the rest of the season because they don't want the possibility of more fan anguish,
more
frustration,
yep,
and just people not wanting to go to games. I don't know if that's what happened or not, but that's what I got to figure out. It's also possible DiBartolo never felt like they got the right offer. Because as much as I want to trade Mackenzie Gore, as much as I think it was the right thing to do, as a huge Gore believer who thinks he's a stud, you can't. This is not Bell where you just take the best offer.
Right.
You had to get something really good.
Mm-hmm.
What you and I were just saying about Josh Bell, which I think is 100% accurate, everyone make your offers, take the best offer, and if we're getting 36 cents on the dollar, no problem. Thanks for the 36 cents. It's 36 cents I can spend in a year when Bell's not here anymore, right? On Gore, I needed to do really, really,
yep,
really well. And we don't know if they were able to. What if the Cubs said, you can't have Matt Shaw and you can't have Ballesteros? If the Padres said, we want Mackenzie Gore, and the Nats said, okay, well, we're not doing this deal if we don't get DeVries back, who they ended up trading, the number three player that they traded in the A's deal for a starter and a reliever, in Mason Miller. They said, no, we're not doing that. I'm just making this up. But
sure,
you have to get the guys you want or you don't trade Gore. But one of two things is true. They couldn't get the right deal, or they got a deal they liked and ownership said no.
That's the million-dollar question. And my instinct, based on nothing, only circumstantial, is to be very cynical towards ownership. Just because
the market today was hot.
And
I mean, look at the starters. There's a ton of starters that got traded.
Exactly where I was going. Teams were desperate for starting pitching help. The Red Sox were in on anybody that's ever picked up a baseball and stood on a major league mound. It sounded like they were linked to nearly every person that you can imagine. They're trying for this guy. They tried for Joe Ryan from the Twins. The Twins had a fire sale. So they're trying for this, trying for that. I have to believe offers were made. We talked to Chelsea Janes about this. We talked to, I can't remember who else, earlier this week, where this trade deadline is showing you that there is some go for it here, right? I mean, the teams that are separating, there's more separation from the pack really than there's been in recent memory, where there's haves and then decided have nots. There's the normal middle class teams, the Reds, the Cardinals, and the Angels are always kind of hovering right around 500. But there's some separating teams now. Mets, Phillies, Blue Jays, Yankees, Detroit, Milwaukee, Houston with some big moves. Dodgers don't need to do anything. They're a juggernaut. But the Padres, those teams are willing to enter the arms race. They can't do all of them the 15-year, $700 million deal, right? That's reserved for the very few. But these kind of big asking prices now, where you're paying in a different way with commodities in your own organization that aren't going to help your big league club for a while, I'd bet a lot. I don't have much, but I'd bet a significant amount of that an acceptable offer, at least one, if not more, came across the Nationals' desk, and it was kicked up, and the answer came back no. That's what I'd bet on.
Would you? I think you're probably right. I stopped short of saying, though, that they got an offer they couldn't turn down. And what I mean by that is,
I know what you mean. Yeah, the Godfather,
like,
offer.
Yes, like, the Cubs is an example, right? If Matt Shaw, the Maryland product who I want in the infield, you could start at second base right away and moving forward, with, say, like Moises Ballesteros, their catcher first baseman, who I saw in the Futures game last couple of years, and then I'm throwing another name here, but like right-handed pitcher Jackson Wiggins, who's a right-handed double-A arm, who's got a 2 ERA and 80 strikeouts in 68 innings, something like that. If they throw those three players at you, I don't think there's any way they don't do the deal. But if the Cubs are saying, we'll give you Ryan Gallagher, James Triantos, who's actually a local guy from Madison High School,
mm-hmm,
who was a top 55 pick, but hitting about 260 in the minors and is taking a step back this year, and Jack Neely or something, then you don't need to trade Mackenzie Gore for that. So that's what we've got to unearth. I think that's the job now of the local media here, is to figure out how and why Gore staying happened. But the Bartolo was busy enough and aggressive enough with all of the guys that you expected to get traded that have no control beyond this season, that it was very clear, if you're not bolted down, we'll deal you. That makes me think Josh Bell, they just didn't get an offer.
Mm.
Goes against what I was hearing yesterday, for the record. I was told they're definitely going to trade Soroka, Finnegan, and Bell. Well, two of those three things happened. But maybe the Bell part, the first base market, as Chelsea told us, hadn't materialized as of this afternoon. O'Hearn got traded late.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it was just cold. Maybe it didn't happen the way they thought. But on Gore, I just can't fathom that they got a really good prospect package and said no to it. But you might be right. I mean, you have all the reason in the world to assume ownership would have stepped in. And again, that's what I was hearing yesterday, is even if they get that offer, there's a really good chance ownership will say no. I would just love to know if they got the offer.
Of course, I would too. And I'm not accusing, for the record. I'm speculating. This is exactly what's happening. I'm taking the context clues and speculating. It wouldn't surprise me, by the way, that they stepped in on Josh Bell as well. I'm not even being flippant about that. Just how good a guy he is. How he's tearing the
they
yes,
don't care about that.
I absolutely believe that that's possible.
He got traded before.
Yep. And they couldn't wait to re-sign him. He means a lot. They're putting him out there because he's reading to the kids this week, and he's reading to that group next week, and he's representing us here at this thing.
I would bet anything that ownership would not have said, don't trade Josh Bell.
I would bet against the two, but I'm also not ruling it out, is my point. I think it's probably a 10% chance that they stepped in. Like, we don't care about some minor league Marty who's never going to make the major leagues. This guy is a great ambassador to the various folks. So, again, just reading context clues is all I'm doing. The trades and the deals are fast and furious. Three teams that are World Series contenders. I don't know whether you include the Padres in there or not, but man, maybe not the Red Sox either. But anyway, frontline teams that are trying to go in are calling you about your stud starting pitcher. I bet you there was some bidding. I bet you something came across the desk that was pretty good. There's no, I have to take this, otherwise it's irresponsible deal, maybe, like the Soto thing or whatever happened. But I bet you a deal that was above the threshold, or multiple ones of those, I bet that came through.
So I just texted a buddy who's a good baseball league source, and I said, was asking about the Bell thing, and he was like, eh. You know, I don't know how many teams were looking for that. You know, he's streaky. He's on his hot streak. You could be getting him right before he cools off. Everybody kind of knows. It's been 50 games. This is kind of what happens, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
My point is, there are a lot of players that weren't that good that got traded, you know?
Yeah.
You couldn't get anything? Nothing? You couldn't have picked up the phone and called 30 teams, and every time you hung up just said, will you give us any of your minor league players for Josh Bell? Like, to me, that would have been worth it. Right?
Right.
And same thing with Paul DeJong. Paul DeJong is a quality defensive player at multiple infield positions. He's got some pop still.
Making $1 million.
Now, yeah, exactly. He makes no money. You could play him at second, short, or third. He'd be very good defensively at third or second. Not one team was willing to offer anything. You just get a little bit better in their infield defense with Paul DeJong. I wonder how many calls you actually make on guys like that. I'm sure they do, because it's the job. But like, is Mike DeBartolo, did he call six or seven teams that he knows are looking for infield defense and say, hey, what would you give us for Paul DeJong? Or are you just waiting for the phone to ring? I don't know how that works. But in my perfect world, I think the more they could have traded, the better. But I think my takeaway, honestly, is DeBartolo executed an awesome draft plan that worked out really well. They got all their guys signed. They got some really high-ceiling high school talent after going the way they did at number one overall and saving a little money on their favorite player in the draft. And now you get through a deadline where you flip Rosario, Chafin, Garcia, Soroka, Finnegan, and Alex Call, and you bring in what was a total of 10 minor leaguers to the system. No great prospects, but a couple of guys who have some decent ceilings. This was, from what they accomplished, there wasn't one return where I went, that was lighter than I would have thought.
Hmm.
Like, every single trade they made, they got a couple of guys who are either low minors with tools and ceiling, or high minors having decent seasons, where you go, it's a decent little return for nothing. You could have gotten nothing from Ed Rosario, or you could get a couple decent players.
Right, I'd rather have that, yeah.
they did that over and over again. I'd like to get more intel on Bell and on Gore, and maybe even on DeJong, yeah. If I could throw him in there.
Yeah, this is sort of the unsexy part of general managing, right? Because it's like, okay, I'm done, and now you don't see any of the results of any of these things for months, even years, on a lot of these guys, when you mention draft and trading for dudes in the future. But yeah, so short of the major splash, which I don't know if he was permitted to do, to be honest with you, it's always so hard to grade these things kind of in real time. It's easier to do when you're a contending team that's on their way to 90-some wins, and you add the thing that you need. You go, that's an A, because we needed a setup man, and we just got one. Huzzah. That's simple. This is much harder to sort of figure out if it was good, but on paper, certainly, you could see the makings of a plan and execution against it.
We got football tonight, Danny Hutier.
Yeah, buddy.
The Chargers and the Lions kicking off in about an hour and a half. Primetime television. NBC with Mike Tirico's Golden Pipes on the call. The Collinsworth slide. You are looking live at Canton, Ohio. Is that Chris Russell on the sideline? Doesn't he always go to this game?
I think he always goes, right?
He's a big Canton, Ohio. Now, every time he goes, they don't play the game because, like, they painted the field too late or there's a storm or something.
That's right.
This was the game where they have some kind of fiasco on the field every time.
There's lightning 10 miles away or something.
The paint hasn't dried. Mm-hmm. For some reason, there's a hole in the field that no one can solve. There's always something. Chargers, Lions tonight. We are back. Football under the lights in primetime.
Who's more of a football guy? Jim Harbaugh or Dan Campbell? You see what I'm saying? They're different, but both football guys. Who's more of a football guy?
That's really good. That's really good. I'm going to say Dan Campbell's more of a football guy. I think Harbaugh's a little more worldly, probably has more interests outside of football. I think Dan Campbell's here to bite kneecaps. I don't think he has any other gear.
I could make a case for Harbaugh. Like, I barely even have time to put on these khaki pants because I'm thinking about football.
It's definitely
just
a football guy.
Just attacking this day. You have coming up with catchphrases for like how he eats his donut.
What's the thing he says? Attacking this day with an enthusiasm unknown to man. That's like his catchphrase,
yeah.
Or something.
I mean, I'm like, I don't even know how to talk to you, dude. I need a translator.
Yeah, that's a bad catchphrase. The other one is, who's got it better than us? Nobody. That's like the old Jim Zorn hip hip hooray bit. If we did radio in Los Angeles, every time we had a first-time caller, we would say, who's got it better than us?
Nobody.
Should we change it to that? Just as an inside joke for the real ones to understand?
If you were here at 627 that day, you'll get it.
All right, so the big news of the day, Mackenzie Gore stays with the Nationals. Shockingly, Josh Bell does as well. They did make a half dozen deals ahead of the deadline over the last 3 days with interim general manager Mike DeBartolo at the controls. If you missed any part of our show, including our interviews with Commanders offensive lineman Brandon Coleman and cornerback / pilot Jonathan Jones, podcast the show, thefandc.com is where you can find us. Overtime comes your way next with Linnell.
Thank you for coming.